Back to the Better Next Door. You know, we talk about the hardships or the frustrations of dealing with this large bureaucracy and having these personal issues that were caused by service. But let's talk about what you've accomplished a little bit. And folks, this is amazing. But first of all, how does a veteran get in touch with you guys?
You can call us at 865-336-2624. That's 865-336-2624. Or you could go on our website. It has a lot of information like the Battle Mind Training, 180 programs, Veterans Treatment Court, faith-based. And that is www, we'll give you the military alphabet, Tango November Victor Hotel Charlie.org. That's TNVHC.org.
Okay.
We needed to clarify something at the break because we were talking about how small a population we are. That just points out to everybody, especially us, why we don't understand, why people don't understand us. And with that figure, there's almost nobody in the country that ever did that. So that's an important fact. And then the other one that you brought up, Robert.
About you don't have to be a combat veteran or have a problem to come in and see us. I mean, you may not even know you have a problem because the wounds are invisible. Right. But you can also come in and contribute to the group by participating, learning, and helping others from your experience.
So God's really blessed us. And you just, guess what? We started this council because of the VA. We use their handbook. We follow the procedures. And why we're successful is because there are brilliant people there. And we use that. And that's how we started. That's how our bylaws were set up, because they were already there back in 2011. So you guys have copies of our accomplishments. And we just listed 47 of them.
Over the past 3 years?
No, over the past 1 year.
Okay, this year's accomplishments.
One of the first ones was having partnered with the VIS-9 leadership. That was so important. And then what that did is bring us together, or back together, with Mountain Home and the clinic. And so that really, really put this success on how grassroots could work with the executives and talk about issues and work together to resolve them. And you'll hear how these things. Robert, this is a great one that you basically took on by yourself when we asked the question, how are we going to outreach veterans, especially justice-involved veterans in a Veterans Treatment Court? So want to talk to us about that with the University of Tennessee?
Yeah, I met with the sociology department heads, and you and a couple other council members, and we decided to start a internship with the UT and with the Veterans Treatment Court, and that is going to be active starting August 19th at the beginning of fall semester.
Next week.
Yep.
What does that mean? I mean, the internship, what does that mean?
It's going to be where you come in and you work with the Veterans Treatment Court, you learn how the Veterans Treatment Court operates, you're going to be working directly with the judge and the
director
and the staff, and you're going to learn how this situation, the courts work, and it'll give experience. Well, you'll get the drug court knowledge, but you'll also get it from the veteran's perspective as well.
When you say you, who are you talking about? You?
Well, I've got to start it.
Okay. All right. So are you saying other veterans?
Yes.
And is it free, or do they pay tuition, or?
It's part of a course.
It's part of a course, yeah.
It's a course that we started.
Okay, so, but you still have to pay tuition to the university to get involved?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you go on the GI Bill?
Yes. That's how he's going.
Okay. Well, I'm going voc rehab.
Oh, okay. Voc rehab.
Cool. I still have like 9 months left on my GI Bill, so loving life.
But one important thing you pointed out to me was that the university wasn't interested in doing about the drug courts, because they've been around for 25 years. And so what their real interest, since it's almost brand new, Tennessee didn't have a VTC until July of 2012, and ours started in 2013, so it's brand new, right?
Right. I brought forward the statistics that you and I have talked about on the drug courts from Buffalo and introduced it and talked about the first graduate from the Veterans Treatment Court, and I just kept talking to him about it, and it developed interest.
And what we were surprised at is when we went, the first time we went to the University of Tennessee, we thought we should be at the legal department. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
With Professor John. And so that idea came up in our East Tennessee Veterans Treatment Court because we saw, you know, these courts don't receive a whole bunch of funding. We have a lot of mentors. The staff needed help, and Dick Steperella is one that came up with the idea, and then you took off with it in less than a year that happened. So thanks a lot for that one.
And what's the name of that course?
It's called Sociology 492, but I've termed it East Tennessee Center for Transformative Justice.
Yeah.
East Tennessee Center for Transformative Justice.
Yep.
and you could get it on GI Bill, and if you're interested, can you call 865-336-2624 and talk to somebody about it?
He's the man with the answer.
Or is this pass fail, or is it can a student take it for a grade point rating?
It's a GPA rating.
GPA rating, so it's not pass fail.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's amazing. One item, improving the drug verification at the center from days to no longer than 24 hours. And
let's take the problem. What was the problem?
The problem was when we were going through orientation at the Knox County Detention Center, we met with the mental health nurse and doctors and sociologists, and they told us that the VA was one of the worst. This is over a year ago. They were one of the worst in drug verification. Because when you're a justice-involved veteran, and any, take all your medicine away, and they can't give you any medicine until your drugs are verified by your pharmacy. And at the time, they were reporting that our veterans were waiting from 3 to 5 days, but up to 7 days. And so that was just horrific for those men and women that were in there. Once we got together and identified the issue, and they fixed that within 30 days. So we were really
So I guess somebody's writing you guys a big check to pay you for all the work you do.
No.
Seriously, you all are volunteers.
Yes.
And you are investigating these issues. You're going in as a veteran, and that guy that might be in jail waiting on his medicine, did he ask you for help?
No.
So you all come in and finding him or her.
That's the beauty of what the VA created in these mental health councils. They had the foresight to see that. So all we're doing is follow that. We know what it would feel like, you know, because we have the issue. So instead of complaining about, just like we talked about, you can't walk Brent around for 19 months. Nobody could do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so we just continue the mission. It's our duty to serve. I know you had Buddy Wallace on the show a couple months ago, and he mm-hmm. was talking about how he owes his career and his dedication to veterans, to the Vietnam vets. And what I say to you young guys all the time is, don't be like Don and I. Don't wait 40, 50 years. You don't have to suffer like that. And so that's the importance of it.
Yeah, well, I want to go real back to the PEAR program. How does an officer know that he's dealing with a veteran? Does he ask as soon as he pulls you over? Nobody, you know, when I got pulled over a couple months ago, nobody asked me.
Well, talk about the signs that you might see.
Yeah.
Wearing boy, look, he's got a hat on. Look, it's pretty simple. He's got a purple heart.
Yeah. Things like that. Is there a sticker on the back of their car that license says, I served, right? Or a license plate that says U.S. Army, Marine Corps, Air Force, Navy? You know, if you see something like that, one of the officers should probably ask you, whichever one's stopping you, hey, were you ever in the military? Is a great thing to ask. And, you know, there's either one or two answers to that, yes or no. That's it.
Well, you had a great story on July 30th. So why don't you tell them a story about how the training actually worked for you real quick?
Yeah, I got pulled over at UT for no seatbelt. And the police officer, the first minute he walked up to the car, the first thing he said, I noticed you're a veteran. I want to thank you for your service. And right off the bat, de-escalated the whole situation. You know, the guy standing behind the car didn't even recognize him, completely taken off kilter. It was a pleasant pullover. I mean, got a warning out of it and actually engaged in conversation about the program that he had heard about.
Yeah, so he was taught by one of the officers that attended our class. And one of the unintended positive consequences is that we are actually teaching them how to go get help themselves, because they're no different than the military. They have to watch out for their careers. Right. And just like you and her, what would happen if you said to somebody in
if I needed help while I was in the Corps, they would have drummed me out.
Adam and Robert, this group needs more veterans like you guys. We want to encourage you to not, all veterans out there listen to, not wait 30, 40, 50 years and let it build up. And because Ed, you and Don didn't know where to go get help, I don't guess.
There wasn't any help.
There wasn't any help. And now we've got these group of Vietnam veterans in East Tennessee that have organized and started working from the bottom up on what the help they need. You've almost designed what you need. I heard you said about a year ago, you guys have to learn to treat yourselves or to tell the treaters what you need.
Yeah, we have to protect each other because some of us have our own triggers when you hear somebody committed suicide or is going to. We just did that Wednesday with each other, right?
Yes.
So Adam, tell me, if there's anybody out there listening or know somebody, what are you looking for to get someone to add to your group?
We're basically just looking for veterans who want to give back. Because giving back kind of helps. I've been a little suicidal before, alone, sitting at home, but getting involved in this peer support group, I'm around a bunch of my peers that have been through the same thing, Yes, it's different situations, but it's all the same. War is war, no matter where you are. And, a randomly good veteran that's, been in the service. You don't have to have seen anything. As long as you're wanting to give back and to help out as much as possible, we would definitely love to have you in our group.
What's the commitment?
We just kind of meet up. We sit around. We talk. We try and help each other out. Sometimes, we might ask you, hey, can you help out this fellow veteran or that fellow veteran or so-and-so needs this? Is there anything you can do to help us, help him?
We use a recovery book by Mo Armstrong, and we talk about page 9. And the commitment is simply this. If you need help, we've had guys like Wayne that's been with us for over 3 years. Hardly talks, but he tells us he's better off, right?
For you listeners out there, grab a pencil and a piece of paper. We're going to give you some numbers. We need your help, and if you forget the number, you can't call. So get ready. We're going to give you some numbers. Call.
Go ahead. So page 9 is acceptance. So you go through all the guilt. You go through all this recovery stuff, and what's on page 9 says, I finally accept what I have. We asked the question on July 30th when we were doing the pair training. Does anybody feel that they have a stigma because you have PTSD? I don't.
No.
I know you guys said no. And so, when they talk about the stigma, we could help learn, and we did learn, that it's just something, it's an invisible wound. We're not embarrassed about it. I wish I didn't have it, right?
Definitely.
And you don't have to give it anything back. But just like the movie, if you saw Kyle, you saw that when he only got better when he started accepting what he had and giving back. J.L. Tucker, we had a full show with his family in here in February of this year, and we learned a lot. What did we learn? A guy that was damaged for most of his entire life, that family felt hope and happiness in the last 2 years because of faith and because of the group.
And what made me appreciate him that much is I had seen the movie. We were soldiers, and never crossed my mind that someone a couple miles away who was not shooting the gun or anything would be damaged as much as he was damaged because his dedication to serve and to do his job.
Well, trauma is trauma no matter what that trauma is. And if you have been through some trauma and you've been in the military, you probably have PTSD.
That's a good point you brought up, trauma is trauma, because what do we learn in pair? Not only do they have the same high rate as we do, the difference between our trauma and the police that we learned from Sergeant Terry was that ours is re-experiencing and theirs is re-exposure. And so that Marine who was helping us with the training program taught us, he had PTSD from Vietnam, but he thought his PTSD from being on the force for 38 years was worse because of his re-experiencing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, folks, you listeners out there, if you got your pencil, write down 865-336-2624, and you just call that number and leave your question, and one of these gentlemen will give you a call, and we'd love to have you join in and work with us. if you had to mention one thing right now, just real quick, Don and Adam, everybody, what's your next step for the biggest concern that you have for this organization, Don?
My biggest concern is that I wanted to keep growing.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like to get in more SANS veterans that to talk with and make myself feel better, because the more there are of us that we can, you know, share experiences and laughs and stuff, the better off it is. You know?
So even 1 hour, if a veteran puts in 1 hour, they may change somebody else's life for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yes, definitely.
And how about you, Robert?
Same thing. Like to see it grow.
We need to make it grow. And how do we make it grow? Each one, reach one, teach one. Okay, definitely. So, but we, you know, we can't talk to you if we don't know who you are, and we need you to call us. Good. Okay. One more time, that phone number is 865-336-2624. Folks, we got about a minute and a half. Anybody want to add anything?
Yeah, Adam, you run, and Don, you're with the SANS group on Wednesdays. If they want to call you or Robert, Robert's part of the SANS group, and anybody's interested in that University of Tennessee course, call him. And then you're the lead facilitator and a mentor over there.
For the SANS group, yes, sir. My name is Adam. My cell phone number is area code 513-967-2417. Shoot me a text with your name, what branch of the service you were in. Call me, leave me a message, give me some time to get back with you, and I would be more than happy to talk with you and do anything I can for you. Again, my number is area code 513-967-2417.
That's an Ohio number, but you're here in Tennessee, right?
So even
I'm a Yankee.
so am I, buddy.
So and we forgive you.
Thank you so much.
If you are a veteran and if you have experienced one of those invisible wounds, we're encouraging you to take what you learned from that self-treatment or advice from other people and take that and help other people.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's not just a veteran. Don, your wife's working with one of our mothers of a justice-involved vet. So,
folks, you've been...
Don't forget to get the families.
Thanks for listening to us today. We hope you help. You listen to Better Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll see you next week.